We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. Willie P and Diesel on a Friday. It is the 11th day of October 2019. You know why I'm glad? We actually have football this weekend to look forward to that is actually football that we care about. We've got three games. We've got Clemson taking on Florida State. We've got South Carolina going down to Georgia. We'll see what happens. And we have Clemson playing in, or excuse me, we have the Carolina Panthers, pardon me, playing in foggy London town against Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a sleepy time 9:30 a.m. kick, which you can hear on our sister station, Classic Rock 101.1. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. Text line's open as well. Be sure you use ESPN in the body of your text message. 71307 is how you get in touch with us. And, of course, you can do so on Twitter, at Willie P. Style, at Diesel on Radio, and at ESPN Upstate. Let's start with South Carolina. And I'm very, very curious how they look at this contest because this is a house money game for the Gamecocks. And we talked yesterday with Mike Griffith, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs for Dog Nation. And a lot of people seem to think that Georgia, while they are managing the season, managing kind of what has kind of been in front of them, they haven't really played an opponent outside of Notre Dame that's really challenged them. Vandy, Murray State, Arkansas State, and Tennessee have provided really no challenge to them. This is the first conference opponent that at least I believe will be able to make Georgia sweat a little bit. Do I think South Carolina is going to win the football game? Absolutely not. Do I think they're going to cover the spread? Well, we'll ask Rob Vino at sportsmemo.com coming up with sports in a Vegas perspective, what he feels about it. But I have my significant doubts on it, and I'm sure a lot of people who are Gamecock fans do. But we ask you this, and I asked this similar question with regards to Alabama when South Carolina played the Crimson Tide. What represents a win for you? A lot of people looked back on that Alabama game going into the Missouri game as being one game that looked, at least on the outset and looking at the stats, as one that quite honestly gave South Carolina some confidence going forward. Ryan Helinski played, honestly, his best game against FBS competition in that contest, albeit in a defeat. The run game was able to do some things, and you were able to stop the Alabama run themselves. But, of course, you were in a situation where you had plenty that you could not like. And the obvious part of this is very much a big part of how they have blended together these different parts of their team. I like to think that a game plan similar to that of the Kentucky game can at least let them sweat a little bit more. But I personally think that the only way that you can get Georgia in a game with you is you have to have Ryan Helinski throw the football. They can't have the kind of game plan where they just junk everything that's going through the air and not throw Ryan Helinski and expect to at least be in this football game by halftime. Last time they played Georgia at Sanford Stadium 2 years ago, it was a game where, quite honestly, similar to the game that we saw earlier this year against Alabama, a game with South Carolina that I honestly thought they hung in it a lot longer than many people expected them to. Now, there was some desperate moments in that game, onside kicks, things of that nature. Jake Bailey didn't have his best game there, one touchdown, two interceptions, but they had a 10-play, 75-yard drive at the beginning of the second quarter, and you had the Georgia fans sweating at halftime. And a couple of plays here and there change direction, and lo and behold, it's a different football game. But be that as it may, certainly a lot of people will look at this game and say, there's really no way that you look at this and say South Carolina can win the football game. But Will Muschamp, coming into this week, had this to say about how his team attacked the bye week and how his team believes that they, at least going forward, can turn the second half of this season into a more fruitful one beginning this week between the hedges.
Not so much on Wednesday and a little better on Thursday. We needed to have some better attention to detail and focus, and we didn't have that. I was pleased with today's practice, though. You know, we went back and just looked at our first five ball games, and you know, whether it was an error on, could have been in all three areas, whether it was up front at linebacker or in the secondary, was it a busted assignment? Are we doing too much? I mean, there's a lot of different questions you answer or ask. You know, when you look at those sort of things, is that a coaching issue? Is that a scheme issue? Is that a player issue? So those are all things that we kind of tried to help minimize those things moving forward. And the bottom line is we need to be more consistent defensively, you know, because we've done some really good things at times and we haven't done them enough. And so those are things we, Colin, we've got to go back and just be a more consistent football team overall. But you specifically asking about the defense, we need to be more consistent.
That is Will Muschamp speaking about the situation at South Carolina. Again, it is a noon kick. You'll be able to see it on the Worldwide Leader. We'll see how, again, that plays itself out here on Saturday. Of course, tomorrow at Death Valley, Clemson back in action as well. First time in a couple of weeks for them. And quite honestly, this can go one of two ways for Clemson. I personally see it going to go one of two ways, Diesel. It's either going to be a continuation of the murkiness, the returning back to the field, the regression to the mean that we've seen with this ACC and that we've seen with Clemson over the course of the first 5 weeks of the season. Look, no one's coming out here and saying that Clemson is in danger of missing a chance at the college football playoff. I'm not going to give you the whole woe is me, gallows humor type of thing that people are trying to do in the national media. And quite honestly, all I tried to do over the last couple of weeks is be very, very honest about the fact that there were concerns about the way they played. And there were. I think you're blind if you think that there was think it otherwise. But if for some reason this is not a smackdown tomorrow, then we got big problems involving the Clemson Tigers. It won't show itself in the next 3 weeks of play following this one. Maybe not the next 4 weeks. But this is probably the last time until Wake Forest that I would look at this team and say they're in an opportunity where if they don't play their best, if they have another performance like North Carolina, then they're in trouble.
I think you could easily say that Clemson's performance, their poor performance at North Carolina, came at the worst possible time because it gave the entire national media 2 weeks to obsess over it.
Mm-hmm. And right now, as we start to get ourselves closer to when the rankings come out for the first time, people are going to start looking at metrics like game control, margin of victory, strength of schedule, things of that nature. I don't think there's really anybody who believes that Florida State on the basically playing at its best and Clemson playing at its best is a game. I think that basically is something we all can kind of agree on. But make no mistake, this will be a situation that's very, very fascinating and interesting if we get into the fourth quarter and Clemson is still in a dogfight. So pardon me if I'm not sitting here with a little bit of skepticism going into this weekend. It's a 26-point spread, 27.5 in some places. If I was a betting man, I'd probably be leaning toward the Seminoles on the points. Not necessarily for any other reason other than past experience right now shows me that this Clemson team is flawed. Now, the one thing that Dabo has said over the course of this week that stood out over everything, including the Gundy quotes, including the rant on Wednesday night that talked about Trevor Lawrence and saying that he's, quote, fine, But one thing that he said that quite honestly ringed more true than anything that I think I've ever heard him say is that the fact that Clemson is in the conversation is good for business.
I'm glad that we got, you know, people that have an opinion on Clemson. I think that's great. You know, it means we matter. You know, our program matters. And, you know, it's good that people are talking about Clemson, good or bad. You know, they stink. They're great. You know, whatever. It doesn't really matter. What matters to us is just playing well, you know. But you know, I mean, it's fun, too. I mean, I had open week, so I went back out to the shed this week, and I took the tarp off the Roy bus, just took it off. You know, I thought we were off the Roy bus for a while. I just took it off, pumped the tires back up, gave it a bath, a little oil change, ran down there to the $5 oil change, fluffed up the seats a little bit. We're back on the Roy bus, man. I mean, here we go.
I swear, that man attacks adversity and any type of negative motivation like Joey Chestnut attacks a plate of hot dogs on the 4th of July. I swear, man. There's nobody who comes out of a loss with a bigger smile on his face than Dabo Swinney, because he now knows he's got tape to teach from. And that's the real biggest part. If you are an enemy of Clemson, if you are a South Carolina fan and you are ticked to high heaven that this run has continued, not that I am somebody who resembles that remark, but I'm just speaking to those of you who thought that's the biggest problem, is that you better hope that the next team that goes out and does this actually throws the knockout punch. Because you allow Clemson to get back up off the mat. I told you this game can go one of two ways. It can either go the murky way, or it could be ugly. It could be 70-point ugly. Last year, they put 77 on Louisville. We're talking that kind of game if Clemson does what I think they are very capable of doing, which is sending a message. Dabo Swinney was actually on the Clemson campus with the folks of First Take earlier today. We'll play you some of that a little bit later on in the program. But one of the things he said on First Take is that I'm not going to sacrifice my players to get stats for things like the Heisman Trophy, admitting something that I've admitted previously to you all with regards to people like ETN and Lawrence saying those guys have no chance to get Heisman trophies because Dabo wants to play 72.4 players per contest and save his team up for the national championship and the semifinal round and games that are basically, for lack of a better term, the orange britches games. But I think he knows, and I think everybody else knows, that this is a statement game. And the one thing that they keep talking about in that locker room is that Florida State still means something. This game has basically signaled the division winner each of the last 10 seasons. It signaled the conference winner to the last 10 seasons. So while Florida State is diminished, Clemson's not going to have any mercy for them, because Bowden never had any mercy for this team. Jimbo never had any mercy for this team when he had them working. So I personally think that Dabo Swinney is going to treat this week like there is no mercy. So the fact that it's Florida State this week off of the 2 weeks of the bye, like you mentioned, Diesel, is probably the worst thing for those who are Seminoles fans. I had a friend of mine who's a Seminole fan last week when I ended up seeing him. I said, are you coming up for the game? He's within driving distance. He said, nope. Not going up there to watch that slaughter. Dabo with an extra week to prepare off a game where they played like crap. No siree. I'm not taking that chance. Even though I'd be tempted to take the points, I'd be equally as tempted to have Clemson in a rout. 844-GSP, ESPN's the phone number. Text line is at 71307. Please put ESPN in the body of your text. Be a part of the program. Also, if you missed our ESPN Upstate $1,000 cash stash, final hour of that for the day, final hour of the week for that. Make sure you put your text in before 5 p.m. Do not use our regular text line. That line is 72881. The winning word is young, Y-O-U-N-G. Y-O-U-N-G, like the former quarterback of the 49ers, Young, Y-O-U-N-G. Text that word to 72881. You could be $1,000 richer with the ESPN Upstate $1,000 cash stash. Coming up, speaking of winning you some money, if you don't win money with the cash stash, maybe you can do so with our pal Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com. He comes on every Friday at this time to give you sports from a Vegas perspective and a chance to possibly win some dough. Willie P. and Diesel here with you on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Let's head to the hotline, and our usual Friday spot is with our pal Rob Vino of SportsMemo.com, sports from a Vegas perspective. How you be, Robbie V?
I am good today, buddy. How about yourself?
I'm good. Before we get to the football, I want to look back on the baseball, the results of the two National League Division Series. Shocking to me, at least in my opinion, because I thought the Dodgers were the odds-on favorite to win the whole darn thing. I thought the Braves were a lot stronger than the Cardinals. How surprising were those two results to you? I know you had made a particular flyer on maybe one of those underdogs in the division series round. How surprising were those results to you?
Yeah, probably not as surprising as they were to you, Will. I had St. Louis to win the series, resting the hopes on Jack Flaherty, and they didn't even really need Jack Flaherty in game five after that top of the first. So St. Louis, really not a surprise. I just thought they matched up with Atlanta pretty well. The Dodgers, somewhat surprising, but again, not shocking because of the pitching that Washington brings to the party and the fact that the Dodger bats had slumped so badly, led by Cody Bellinger, for the last, you know, six, seven, 8 weeks of the season. So I don't, they probably should have gotten their LA, but give Washington a ton of credit. I mean, they just marched those three starting pitchers out there, Strasburg, Scherzer, Corbin, threw them in relief, did what they had to do and came away with a win. So this should be an interesting series. St. Louis is probably outmanned in the pitching department, but never sell the St. Louis Cardinals short. We'll see where this one leads. But it wouldn't surprise me if Washington finds their way to the World Series.
Tell me somebody other than the Yankees is going to win, please.
Yeah, I mean, I thought all along, as soon as the Greinke trade was finalized, that Houston was the best team in Major League Baseball, and they immediately became the favorite on all Las Vegas future boards. So I don't see why they wouldn't be at this point in time. Tampa Bay gave them a tussle. There's no doubt about that. But I think they drew the tougher of the two opponents, right? To draw Tampa Bay, in my mind, a little bit tougher than drawing Minnesota, a team that the Yanks have dominated. Minnesota, obviously, a one-sided team, all offense, very little when it comes to pitching. And Tampa Bay, kind of the opposite, all pitching with mediocre offensive talent. So I think that Houston still should be considered the favorite. Well, it's an interesting series because they're going to bring starting pitching to the table, and the Yanks are going to bring that relentless bullpen to the table. So it almost becomes a five-inning game in these in this particular series. We'll see if Houston can be out front after five innings. It would make the Yankees' life more difficult. If the Yanks are out front after five more often than not, then it'll make Houston's life difficult.
Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com. Sports from a Vegas perspective. To the football we go. South Carolina at Georgia between the hedges. Carolina off a bye. This opened at 24. There's been some South Carolina money on it, down to 23 in some shops, 22.5 in some shops. The over-under is 52.5. I swear, South Carolina is kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team to me. They play up to big competition. How do you see it?
Yeah, this, you know, let's start with this, Will. Let's start with the fact that power ratings that I make in order to make lines have Georgia a 21.5-point favorite. So I thought it was high when it opened at 24. Now to see it be bet down doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I think South Carolina's got the ingredients to play this closer than what the line would indicate. It's obviously a tough venue. Georgia's schedule is unique in the fact that their five Eastern Division games began last week and all come consecutively with a bye week in between. So Georgia will have supreme focus, as will South Carolina off of the bye. You know, South Carolina needs to run the football, and let's face it, you're not going to run the football successfully against Georgia. So there's going to have to be a couple of big plays made for South Carolina to get, in my estimation, to 17 points to be able to cover this. If they can score 17, I really don't see them getting beat 41-17, which would be about what it takes realistically to lose that game. They've been better at the line of scrimmage. You and I talked about this in the preseason, that in the trenches they had been outplayed yardage-wise, yards per carry allowed. But it's been better for South Carolina. The Missouri game sits in the back of my head where they couldn't run the football very well. But I think they have enough to get this cover. Well, I haven't played it either way. Didn't play the side, didn't play the total. I think if I had to, I would recommend the South Carolina side here. But you know, one thing I hate is the week leading up to a game like this where the favorite is being, you know, kind of talked negatively about. Georgia struggled with Tennessee for quite a while last week, and the media caught on. And, you know, all of a sudden in these polls, it seems to be where college football playoff is concerned, that Georgia is kind of on the outside looking in most people's eyes right now. And that just adds motivation to the Georgia side. That situational sort of exterior factor would scare me a little bit, but I still think South Carolina, like I say, has enough to get inside that number.
Yeah, it's funny how the opposite seems to be happening to Clemson, at least when it comes to the money. While they have a lot of this outside negative energy being put towards them off of their bye and off of the lackluster performance in the close call against North Carolina, Vegas has responded in the opposite. This game opened against Florida State at 26. It's been bet up to 26.5, 27.5 in some places. A lot of Clemson money, some respect to Florida State. I think this goes one of two ways, Robbie. I think Florida State can hang, or I think Clemson's going to send the message, and it could be a rout.
I wouldn't disagree whatsoever. It's a desperation game for Willie Taggart, head coach of Florida State. I mean, if he gets blown out here, Will, you probably won't see him as head coach of this team next year. So it's a big game for them. Their players, which is, you know, they've got a talented roster, let's face it, and they're chirping a little bit this week about how they're looking forward to this. I'm sure Clemson off the bye is ready to get out of the gates and reestablish themselves as the national power with Alabama, where they've sort of lost some of that luster over the course of the last 3 weeks. To me, the only way I can play this game is over the total. I really feel like Clemson is going to score no matter what. That offensive passing game is far too talented for A, Trevor Lawrence to continue struggling the way he has, and for B, that trio of wide receivers not to start making some big plays, especially in a game where motivation on their side would figure to be pretty high. I feel like Clemson might go through some of these games with, you know, kind of a ho-hum attitude. That won't be the case here against Florida State. So I see them scoring big. FSU is going to go to that two-quarterback situation, type two-headed monster type deal with Blackman and Hornibrook.
I hate it. I hate that, by the way.
Yeah, it's really not great, but they feel that it forces Clemson to, you know, prepare for two different quarterbacks. I don't know. We'll see how that works. I think they can score a little bit here, and their tempo may come back to bite them in this game because they play extremely fast. What's happened to them this year is because their defense is so poor that the opposing offense has really been the one to get a lot of plays off. And if you're out there and Clemson is just rattling plays off, that defense is going to get even more fatigued. Like I say, for me, this game is bet it over the total or don't play it at all.
South Carolina fans will get a good scouting report for their game a week from now when they see Florida play LSU at night, Tiger Stadium. LSU, a 13.5-point favorite. A lot of people love Florida off the game they played against Auburn. I'm literally this close to believing in Florida, although I really don't want to, despite the fact that they've looked better since Trask has come on. Is this where the luck ends?
It could be. I mean, those who are cynical of the Florida Gators and still looking for reasons to not believe in the Florida Gators would say.
Raising my hand, by the way. Raising my hand.
And you can't disagree with those who feel this way. And I don't know that I wouldn't put myself in the same group, Will. But last week's win over Auburn is nice. Mm-hmm. It was at home. I don't know that that's the be-all, end-all that it was at home. But what I do think fundamentally on the field is LSU and Auburn are different animals on the offensive side. And I know Florida's got a great pass rush, and I know Florida's got DBs that can cover. However, defending Bo Nix in that Auburn passing attack really isn't that difficult. And if you can stop the run, you can be in command of a game against the Auburn Tigers, especially if you get ahead like Florida did. LSU, like I say, completely different this season. They're going to test that pass rush. They're going to wear it out, for one, because they're going to run plays, tempo, heavy tempo here to try and tire out that defensive line rotation. And they're going to run a plethora of capable wide receivers, game-breaking wide receivers at those DBs. So this is a different style of game, and this one's on the road, sure. Not at night. Night we would figure LSU to be even more potent. But I just love Joe Burrow, Will, and listening to his quotes, and I know in a lot of the media work you do, you hear a lot of quotes, but this guy, to anybody that'll listen all season long, kind of has these quotes where you get the feeling that when LSU has you down, they're not letting off the gas pedal. Here's a team that was upset with over 600 yards of total offense last week, thought they left a lot on the table. So I think in Florida's case, what they've done is great. I just don't know that Dan Mullen's offense will stay up with this LSU offense. And, you know, for a beleaguered – not a beleaguered, but for an injured defense, LSU's D played pretty darn well last week against Jordan Love, who is, you know, on the radar of NFL scouts as a top-rated quarterback. Utah State's not Florida, don't get me wrong, but LSU's defense played really, really well after being called out somewhat the week before.
Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com. Sports from a Vegas perspective here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. If you had to take one of these three underdogs, Southern Cal, Texas A&M, or Texas, which one would you take?
Probably Texas.
Really?
I just think that they give Oklahoma fits the last few years, and the offensive capabilities are there. Their defense, especially that secondary, is a train wreck due to injuries, and I don't doubt that Jalen Hurts. This is why the total is 76 or 77, whatever it is, at the current time, because Hurts and company are going to score there. C.D. Lamb has been a beast catching balls for Oklahoma. But on the other side, Sam Ellinger has been through this rivalry game a couple of times now. They've played Oklahoma down to the wire. And I don't know that that would change here. You know, that Tom Herman as an underdog number, Will, I think it's up to 14-2 during his coaching career as an underdog, is something that you hear repeated all week long. But it kind of bears fruit because every time they're an underdog, they seem to come through.
All right. NFL revenge game across the pond, Panthers and Buccaneers. This one opened up with Tampa Bay as a 2.5, and it's gone all the way to the other side. You know, Carolina obviously has played a lot better since the last time they saw the Buccaneers. Quarterback change. The defense has been more stout. What do you see in foggy London town?
Yeah, it's definitely huge because divisional games rank as the most important inside the NFL, and Carolina losing straight up, as you mentioned, to Tampa Bay already means it's extremely important to them to win this game. I find a couple of things here. It's obviously strength versus strength. Carolina wants to run the ball. Christian McCaffrey had no success the first time around against this team. I think 54 yards from scrimmage in that particular game. They like to run it. Tampa Bay's run defense is number two in the NFL. Tampa Bay's better at throwing it. Carolina's pass defense has been terrific, as has been their quarterback pressure applied. It's been tremendous, too. One thing I found, in that Tampa Bay passing game, the numbers are a little bit skewed, Will. Their numbers to sit at number 10 in the NFL in passing yardage per game are really skewed by just two games, the Giants and the Rams. Otherwise, against San Francisco, Carolina the first time, and New Orleans, they haven't thrown for over a buck 90. So I think Carolina's probably the right side here. Some people have a little bit of doubt. The guys in the handicapping industry that I talk to have a little bit of doubt because this is Carolina's first time in London, and we saw Chicago come up short last week, first time over there. So there's something to be said for the acclimation of playing overseas. But I think Carolina's the right side here. Fundamentally, there's a lot of things that stack up for them. As long as Kyle Allen can hang on to the football and continue to play error-free the way he has, I think they probably win that game.
All right, Robbie, give me your free play for the day and for the weekend.
I think that if we go to college football, Will, I'm going to take one here that's kind of an upset. I like Temple plus 5 points against Memphis. Temple at home this week. The Memphis Tigers, obviously one of the elite teams in the AAC, but Temple has shown at home especially, and this play is really based on them being at home, but the ability to keep teams off of the scoreboard, and they have an ability to attack down the field. So I think Temple has had this one circled for a while here, as has Memphis. But 5 points to me just seems like too much. I think it's a field goal game either way. Not a firm believer in the, you know, statistical improvement for the Memphis defense. And I think that's where they'll get hurt here by Temple throwing the ball downfield. So give me Temple plus 5, maybe even in an outright upset. But I do think it's a field goal game and the 5 is too many.
Friend of mine from college, Chris Budden, has the sidelines for that game on the Worldwide Leaders. So very, very happy that you picked that game. Thank you so much, Robbie. Appreciate it. Tell Junior to enjoy his time at homecoming.
Yeah, absolutely. I will. Thanks for having me.
That's Rob Vino, sportsmemo.com. Yeah, his son is going back to the homeland of Missouri to see the originators of homecoming, by the way. The Jeopardy-verified originators of homecoming, Mizzou. They play Ole Miss, by the way, in case you were wondering. Can you give me something? Give me a little something on that. You want some love here?
Mizzou's gonna lose that game.
Shut up.
I thought you didn't care about Missouri.
I don't. But shut
yeah.
up.
Okay.
Shut up.
Exposed.
No.
Exposed.
You know what I hate is that they're hitting me up for the donate money again. Should I tell them? What do I tell?
I don't have any money.
What do I tell? That's the thing. It's like, why do they always hit up the people who went to journalism school for money? They should know that there's no money in this business.
I already paid you $40,000. You want more? Get out of here.
$40,000 a year.
Jeez.
Per year.
Rip off.
Forget about it. Who was that who's trying to say that education shouldn't be for sale? Is that too progressive for this station? I guess probably so. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Text line 71307. Of course, we continue on a Friday. Dabo Sweeney was on First Take. He had a first take to Stephen A. Smith that even made him look a little bashful. What was that take? We'll explain next. It's his ESPN Upstate.
Deshaun Watson can't win the Heisman. You know what? It doesn't really matter to me.
I have a question about Deshaun.
I've been there, done it. The Heisman is a great award. It's awesome. I would love to have a player win it, but if I've got to leave him in to get stats in the fourth quarter and things like that, we're probably not going to have a guy win, but we want to win the big trophy.
I have a question.
That is a little bit from Dabo Sweeney on First Take earlier today. He was on Bowman Field on the Clemson campus with Stephen A. and Max. I wonder where Stephen A. did his radio show today, because I'm guessing he might have taken the day off, I guess, just because he was on remote. But pretty cool stuff for them, and whatever. Who knows? But who cares? It's funny. It's funny how that works. 844-GSP ESPN, the phone number, 71307. Just was told by our boss that, by the way, our pal Mark Ryan making his grand return, the Ingles College Football Show, the pregame show with him, Tech Boy and or with Fat Boy and Nine, not Tech Boy, Fat Boy and Nine. They'll be out at Ingles, I believe, in either Seneca or Clemson tomorrow, which will be cool for the people to get out there at 10:30, 10:30 to 12:30 in advance of the 3:30 kick on the Clemson campus. Thank you, by the way, for making an extra pot of coffee for yours truly.
I didn't make it for you.
Oh, you didn't make it. Well, you didn't make it for me. But you did make it, which is nice.
Yeah.
This is the only radio station I've worked at, by the way, where you really can't have a lot of free coffee around. You have to bring your own kind of.
Oh, well, it used to be free. That's the thing.
Oh.
And then, you know, just like a lot of settings, people abused it, and it got taken away. They used to have, you know, boxes of K-Cups downstairs in the break room.
Oh.
And we had a problem with people hoarding
multiple
entire boxes.
Multiple people.
Multiple people. So, you know, you'd see a new box of the new of Starbucks K-Cups show up one day, because most of the time it was Green Mountain Coffee or whatever that cheap stuff is.
What a bunch of crap.
And you'd see a box, a good box of something show up, and by the end of the day, it's gone.
So one of the places I worked actually had a coffee company in its employ. Like, it was like the owners of the radio station also owned a local coffee company. So they literally had boxes and boxes and boxes of, like, those single patches. It wasn't the K-Cup. It was the precursor to the K-Cup. It was the single-serve bag, basically. It was, and they had a little automatic spout thing.
It's better. K-Cups make a lot of trash.
Yeah.
It's a lot of trash out of K-Cups.
Well,
and they taste funny. They taste like plastic.
But here's the problem. It was, like, the bare bones. Like, it was, the original blend. It wasn't, like, because, like, this was a place that was an artisan-type coffee place where, like, they had these, you know, responsibly sourced African and, and, you know, Colombian Arabica beans. This was literally just like the garden variety crap.
We need our very own barista at Intercom Upstate. I feel like Steve Senecroppy, if you're listening, help us out, man.
You want to know something?
Imagine how much more we could sell if everybody was juiced up on high quality Arabica beans.
See, now, you're going to make me tell this story now. I didn't really mean for this to go off the rails, but you have a way of getting me off the rails. My mother is a Starbucks fiend, right? So my father apparently went to an espresso store to try to get her an espresso machine, and the espresso machine place was basically like, well, you know, Starbucks, they don't really use high quality beans. We use higher quality beans than Starbucks does, and my mother has to have it taste just like Starbucks. So I had to look up for her what machine Starbucks used. And apparently you can go buy it at, like, a Williams Sonoma or whatever kitchen store or whatever. And so, to make a long story short, we got basically the exact same specifications for everything. And she gets the espresso pods, and they go through more milk now than they did when I was a baby.
I worked at a Starbucks a little bit, fresh out of college.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was a good company to work for.
I would say I have one every week and a half. I would say I have Starbucks about every week and a half.
Much more habitual than you.
It's because I know what I'm getting into with them. It's kind of a bad experience.
But are you like a frou-frou latte drinker?
Or
are you just regular coffee?
I do a white mocha with an extra shot.
Okay.
Non-fat.
You're
milk.
One of those.
Non-fat milk, no whip. No, it's the same.
You're bordering on like Karen territory.
What's no? It's
you're bordering on being a Karen.
I am not a Karen. It's just one little splash of white chocolate in my mocha and an extra. I do an extra shot because I don't like all the milk. I do a triple shot, venti white.
They don't
mocha.
Put less milk in it. You just get more. You just get more bitter.
You get less milk to coffee ratio. is what it is. Yeah, yeah.
In a way, they don't put less milk in it. They just put another shot in there, they so can't, it tastes
they can't,
more
they,
bitter.
They can't put more milk in it.
They put the same amount. They don't take
they don't,
it out. Is my point.
They can't.
They don't
put
leave
it in
more
it.
Room.
They don't. It's not that they leave room. It's just there's less room for milk to be in because there's an extra shot of espresso in it. Geometrically. Is there geometrically less room because it's a shot of espresso?
They have lines that they fill the milk up to. Trust me, I know.
844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number. So this is the thing that Dabo said on First Take. He said this in response to a take by Stephen A. Stephen A, apparently, I didn't realize this, he has it in for Deshaun. He said this about Trevor Lawrence in response to his love to Stephen A's love for Deshaun Watson.
He's better. Okay. He's smarter. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's faster. He's an unbelievable leader.
You like that?
So it's really that simple. Again, it's like a horse race, and you're halfway around the track, and you got all these people, and you know you're talking about all these people out here in the front. But just trust me, that old horse. He can run, and he'll be right where he needs to be when it matters. He is unbelievable in every regard. And when the season plays out, we'll be having this conversation about what a great player
he is.
That is a little bit of Mr. Dabo. Do you think he's better than Deshaun? I don't think that's way too premature.
It's hard to tell. We've had one really fantastic season.
Yeah. If you would have asked me this question last year, I'd say he has a chance to have a higher ceiling. But now we're seeing the regression. So I have my doubts. 844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. This particular sports league, which is in deep you-know-what, is not going to talk about it anymore. We'll explain next on ESPN Upstate. So the Chinese government has mandated that no media availability of any kind be held for the rest of the NBA's tour in China after the Nets 114-111 victory over the Lakers in Shanghai. No media availability then, and they'll play another game in Shenzhen, but also no media availability. So the NBA is mad as hell, and they're not talking about it anymore. Oh, man. Could this have gone any worse for that league? I'm not going to sit here and say anything bad about the NBA. I'm just going to sit here and say that if there's hypocrisy to be had, it's being exposed in the worst way. That's all I'll have to say about them. 844-GSP-ESPN. Do you agree with what Dabo said about Trevor Lawrence being better than Deshaun Watson? And the NFL officials might be going rogue with pass interference calls? Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.